Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to today's Sunday sermon, which is the third Sunday in Ordinary Time. My name is Father Tom Casey Esime of the Esime Media Center in Dola in Zambia, producing and presenting this program. Today's readings are powerful. One is from Isaiah, chapter 8, verse 23 to chapter 9, verse 3. And it's a powerful message about the foretelling of the coming of the Savior of the world to save the people who are oppressed. I will be reading a very powerful part of the first reading later, because I hope by then you will see it in a different light. Suffice to say, I will read a little bit here just to get you going. The yoke that burdened them, the pole on their shoulders, and the rod of the taskmaster, in other words, the whip, you have smashed. In other words, the Savior is coming up to smash all those instruments and implements of oppression that oppress us all. Did you ever feel oppressed? Did you ever feel that you are no good? Did you ever feel useless? Did you ever feel that nobody maybe likes you? Or that you are not popular like other people? The people of Israel felt they were no good at the time that Jesus came. Why? Because the Pharisees and scribes had expanded on the Ten Commandments and made them into a huge amount of rules and regulations. For instance, on the Sabbath, you could only walk so many steps. You remember Jesus reprimanded them when the people were saying, and I quote, "Why did you heal the man on the Sabbath, when you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath?" He said, "If your ox, your lamb, is stuck in a drain, won't you pull it out and save it?" Doesn't that effectively break that rule that the Pharisees and scribes ascribe to? They invented these man-made rules and made other people feel down because it's impossible to obey all those rules. Onto this scene bursts Jesus, God himself, and he smashes all those rules that oppress. He moves into the people's lives, into their hearts, moving among the poor people who felt that they were all doomed because they could not obey the expanded commandments of the Pharisees and scribes. We, too, have our little rules, believe it or not. Maybe we grew up inventing rules. We all invent some set of rules for ourselves, and we are making these rules which we ourselves cannot live up to. And therefore we, a lot of us, have very bad self-image, maybe. To be told negative things about ourselves by anybody is like terrorism. Maybe somebody says, "You're too small, you're too fat, you're not intelligent, and you're not so good at sports, and you have no abilities." Many things can be said that are negative. Negativity is darkness. Poison, toxic thinking, and toxic speaking. Avoid it like the plague. Rather encourage and give new life by saying, "Well done. I like what you did. You are very good at that particular task. You did very well. You read very well in church." This is being other Christs to our fellow human beings. And we often get encouragement ourselves from others. And when we do, we feel that the whole world is different. And as into our body comes a bolt of light. It builds us up. It's not pride. Don't mix it up with pride. It's important that we feel good about ourselves. I think maybe our religion might be accused of this negative vibes in the past by making people feel bad about themselves and worthless. But there is a place for knowing that we are sinners and that we are not perfect, and that our faith is not the perfect faith, our love is not the perfect love, and our hope is not the perfect hope. Yet God still loves us. The fact that we are not perfect doesn't matter to him at all. To see ourselves for who we are, and then the light of Christ will come into our lives and build us up and spur us on to do great things, especially for our fellow human beings. How beautiful it is to say to someone, "You are worthwhile." Start at home. Home is often where great oppression begins. At home, when there is negativity from parents to the children, and children to their parents, let's put it that way as well. Negativity is never good. God loves you. Definitely, he created everyone, including yourself. Every child, every creation of his is good. Nothing is bad and wasted and a mistake. Nothing is to be ridiculed. Every person is a beautiful creation of God's. Let's look back at our first reading as I promised, because I think it's well worth reading it, and you will see now how those words jump out of the page and help us to see them in a different light. This is from Isaiah chapter 8, verse 23 to chapter 9, verse 3. And it says, and I quote, "Upon those who dwelt in the land of gloom, a light has shone. You have brought them abundant joy and great rejoicing, as they rejoice before you as at the harvest, when people are merry and when they are dividing the spoils. For the yoke that burdened them and the pole on their shoulders and the rod of the taskmaster you have smashed as on the day of Midian." End of quote. My dear friends, remember, you don't have to be who you are not to be loved by God. I repeat, you don't have to be who you are not to be loved by God. Many people spend their lives imitating others and following a set of rules created by themselves. I must be beautiful, I must be intelligent, etc., etc. You don't have to be who you are not to be loved by God. In other words, accept who God has made you. We are a beautiful creation that God has given to the world. The world that God thought it important enough to give you to the world. Because he knew you and I have it in us to enrich the world and make it a better place for us and for everyone for having lived in it. This is the truth our religion is all about. Building up, not knocking down. Building up and giving new life and encouragement. Let's give it to one another as we have received it from the Lord. May God bless you and have a wonderful Sunday. This is Father Tom Casey, SMA, of the SMA Media Center in Ndola in Zambia, signing off now and wishing you every God's blessing. Mm-hmm.